Well, what would you do differently if you knew, that Christ was coming back 10 days from now? And I mean, you know with certainty that he's coming back. Not just some guy saying that he calculated all these numbers from the Bible and he's coming back on September 25th. No, you knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was coming back 10 days from now. What would you do differently? Get a haircut. That's not what I was expecting, I must say. I know for me, and likely for most of us here, I would be more bold and urgent in sharing the gospel with others. I would no longer put off sharing the gospel with family or friends because of his imminent return. I would stop making excuses and start boldly proclaiming that salvation is through faith in Christ and in Christ alone. If we knew that Jesus was coming back in a few days, we would probably worry less. You would not be so concerned about what others would think of you as you share your faith and as you live for God. You would not worry about how serving others would be an inconvenience to your schedule. You would not worry that you were not qualified enough to tell someone about the gospel. Nor would you worry if that moment was the exact right time with the exact right circumstances to share it with them. So what would you do differently if you knew that Christ was coming back 10 days from now? I'm going to come back to that question at the conclusion of our time this morning, and I want you to be thinking about that question throughout this message. Jesus is teaching in our passage this morning in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48, is very relevant to the question. And so let's see what he has to say on the matter. Now, right out of the gate, let me tell you that this is a lengthy passage, again, for me at least, and it is challenging to interpret, it's difficult to understand, and it's hard to stomach. I spent a lot of hours in the office this week pounding my head against the table saying, how in the world do I explain this? This is a hard passage to stomach. And so my hope is to break it down and explain it as clearly as possible, making applications along the way. And so this is how I intend to unpack this difficult message. I'm going to be asking and answering five questions, okay? Five questions. First, what is the central command from this passage? I want that to be crystal clear that if you don't get the rest of what's going on, at least you understand what the central command of the passage is. So that's going to be the first thing we address. Second is, who is this command for? Third, why should we follow this command? Fourth, how can someone live or not live out this command? And then fifth, what is the reward or punishment for how someone lives or does not live out this command? That is where we're heading, and my prayer is that answering these questions will help us to get a firm grasp of what Jesus intends for us to understand from this teaching in Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 48. However, I will only be covering and answering questions 1 through 3 this morning. I started working on and writing the answers to questions 4 and 5, and the sermon was well over an hour. So, I decided to split it into two, and this morning we'll be just answering questions, the first three questions today, and then the next time we'll pick up with questions 4 and 5. And so let's begin by starting out our time very clearly stating what the central command from our passage is this morning. And here it is for all you note takers. Stay alert and faithful as you wait for Christ to return. Stay alert and faithful as you wait for Christ to return. That is the main point of Jesus' teaching in this very long passage. This is what Jesus means when he says in verses 35 and 36, if you take a look at your Bible, in verses 35 and 36, Jesus says, "Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come home from the wedding feast, so that they may open the door to him at once when he comes and knocks." So to be dressed for action, it indicates that you are ready, you are prepared to jump into action and to serve. Similarly, to keep your lamps burning means to be ready at all times. You will not be caught in the dark with an unsure of what direction to go in. No, but with your lamp lit, you are ready. You are ready at all times. And so Jesus commands us to be in this constant state of watchfulness, of readiness, in which we are prepared at any time to act in service to him who is our master and king. Now, in order to illustrate this, Jesus tells a parable which we see unfold in verses 36 through 38. And in this parable, this parable depicts a servant who is alert and vigilant to his master's return and is quick to help when the need arises. The servant is highly regarded for staying awake and is even blessed by the master, as we see in verses 37 and 38. And so Jesus is telling us, be like that servant. Be alert, be vigilant at all times. Be prepared and ready to jump into action. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning at any time. Jesus then tells another parable on the same theme in verses 42 through 48. Let's just read verses 42 through 44. So all eyes back in the Bible, Jesus is speaking starting in verse 42. "And the Lord said, 'Who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions.'" We'll stop there for the moment. The manager that Jesus is referring to is a servant whom he puts in charge while he is away. And so part of the servant's responsibilities is to manage the affairs of the household, but also to take care of his fellow servants by providing them and supplying them with food and other necessities. The servant who fulfills these responsibilities as he waits for the master to return is identified as faithful. And so these two parables are both illustrations of what Jesus wants his disciples to be characterized by. We are the servants who are waiting for the master, who is Jesus, to return. And while we wait, Jesus commands us, stay alert and faithful as you wait for me to return. Now, practically speaking, you can be watchful, alert, and faithful in a variety of different ways. It could be keeping a close watch on your actions and words, being careful to make sure that how you act and speak points to God as being supreme and central in your life. You prepare yourself for Jesus' coming by reading the Bible faithfully and praying consistently. You stay alert by growing in wisdom and knowledge of God. You remain faithful by viewing your circumstances or the events of history through the lens of the Bible rather than through a secular worldview. You are ready and faithful when you make God your top priority. That is, faithfulness corresponds with glorifying God in all that you do. You stay alert by not being complacent and just going with the flow of culture and acting just like the rest of the world. Rather, you stand out as a believer who is set apart, a believer who is markedly different from the rest of the world. And so, brothers and sisters, stay alert and faithful as you wait for Christ to return. This is the central command and the main point of the entire passage. And so if that's the command, then who is it for? That's the next question that we're going to address. The reason why this is particularly relevant is because of Peter's question in verse 41. Take a look there at verse 41. Peter asks, "Lord, are you telling this parable for us or for all?" He's asking, is this command for us disciples only? Is it just for us leaders? Or is this for everyone here in the crowd? What's maddening is that Jesus does not directly answer Peter, if you notice, but rather he tells another parable in response. But if we dig a little deeper, we'll be able to piece together what the answer, I believe, to this question is. In the parable that Jesus tells in response to Peter's question, we see that Jesus identifies four different types of servants, ranging from faithful to unbelieving. I'll make that explicitly clear in our sermon next time, where we'll unpack those four servants. But for now, I think it is plain that in verses 43 and 44, we see a picture of a faithful servant. But in verses 45 and 46, it is a clear picture of a wicked unbeliever. And so Jesus tells this parable in order to encourage and exhort the faithful followers to remain faithful and alert as they wait for Christ to return. But the parable is also a warning to unbelievers that if they don't listen to the command, if they don't remain faithful and alert, that there will be severe consequences, severe and eternal consequences for their actions. And so I believe that the command is for everyone, believer and unbeliever, and it functions in different ways depending on who the person is. For the faithful servant, it's an encouragement intended to spur you on toward greater faithfulness. But for the unbeliever, it's a warning of imminent judgment, and therefore a plea to turn away from unbelief and become a faithful follower of Christ. And so Jesus commands everyone listening to stay alert and faithful as you wait for his return. Now we'll take a look at the reason why Jesus issues this command. We'll see this from several places in the passage. We see from several places in the passage, that, and here it is, we stay alert and faithful at all times because Christ can return at any moment. We stay faithful and alert at all times because Christ could return at any moment. In both parables, the servant is left waiting for his master to return. And the servant does not know when the master will come back. In the first parable, the servant is waiting for their master to come back home from the wedding feast, as it says in verse 36. Now, back then, wedding feasts could last up to 7 days. Can you believe it? Up to 7 days. It really all depended on how much food they had, how long the food lasted. Now, you add in some travel time, again, not by plane or by car, but by foot or by animal. So add in travel time, and you have a very wide range of days on how long the master will be gone. Now, recently, Holly and I went to a wedding, and we had a babysitter watch our kids, and we told her when we'd be home. And when we left the wedding, we even texted her and gave her an exact ETA of when we'd be arriving. That is not how it was like back then. It's more like, we're heading out to a wedding, we'll see you in 4 to 12 days. And so it's clear that the servant in the first parable, he did not know when his master was returning. Now, in the second parable, the servant is given the responsibility to manage the house while the master is away. Again, there is no indication of how long the master will be gone, only that he will come back at some point, as verses 43 and 46 make plain. And so in both parables, the servant was supposed to vigilantly watch for the master to return, understanding that he can return at the time when he least expected it. Now, Jesus explains this unexpected nature of the master's return in both parables as well. In verse 38, if you take a look, Jesus says that the master could come in the second watch or in the third, which is roughly the time between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m. And so a person was clearly, at that time of night, prone to be less watchful and less alert. But despite that, the master could still come home at that unexpected hour. And then in verse 46, Jesus explicitly says, the master of the servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know. And so Jesus indicates that the unknown and unexpected time of the master's return is the reason why, this is key, it is the reason why the servant needs to be alert and faithful at all times. If the master returns when the servant is slacking off, or setting his attention elsewhere, or failing to perform his responsibilities, there will be consequences. Thinking again of the wedding that Holly and I went to, suppose that we told the babysitter that we were coming back at 11 p.m. But we end up coming back at 9:30, and we don't tell her that we're on our way home or that we're coming home early. And let's say we open the door into our house and we find the babysitter glued to her cell phone in a completely different room from the kids, and we see the kids running amok. One of them is climbing up something that they shouldn't. One of them is coloring on the walls with Sharpie. Another one has chocolate syrup in their hand and just dumping the whole thing in their mouth. What do you think's going to happen? There are going to be some consequences for that babysitter. She has been found slacking off and not taking care of her responsibilities. The master is returning. He must be alert and vigilant and faithful as he waits, so that the master will be pleased when he finds his servant faithfully at work when he returns. And so with this in mind, the application for us is quite clear. Jesus is the master and we are the servants. Jesus is most certainly coming back, but at a time that we do not know and will not expect. Therefore, Jesus, our Master, commands us, stay alert and faithful at all times because you don't know when I'm returning. Jesus could return within the next day or year or millennium. We simply don't know. But what we do know is that if we want to be found like the faithful servant in the parable, whom the master is pleased with, then we too must stay alert and faithful as we wait for Christ to return. We must not doze off and become lazy and neglect our responsibilities. Why? Because you wouldn't want Jesus to return and see you acting like that, would you? Of course not. And so because you don't know the time when he is coming, and you don't want Jesus to find you slacking off and unfaithful, then resolve yourself to stay alert and faithful as you wait patiently for Christ to return. I believe this is exactly what Jesus is trying to get across in verses 39 and 40. Though admittedly, it's complicated a little bit by the fact that Jesus switches up the analogy on us. But in verses 39 and 40, Jesus talks about the owner of the house and how they would not leave his house if he knew when a thief was coming to rob him. Now, in this illustration, we are the house owner, and Jesus is the thief. But Jesus' point is that if you knew when I was coming, then you would be alert at that hour, just as a homeowner would not leave his house if they knew the exact hour that a thief was coming. But I, the Son of Man, will come like a thief. That is, I will come at a time that you are not expecting and you do not know. And since you do not know when I am coming, the only way to secure your house, the only way to secure your house is to be ready for me at all times. And so if you want to be found as a faithful disciple of Christ when he returns, then you must stay alert and faithful at all times, because he could come back at any moment. And so, brothers and sisters, I return to the question that I asked at the beginning of this sermon. What would you do differently if you knew that Jesus was coming back 10 days from now? My prayer is that as you've been listening to this sermon, you would have been convicted to see that the answer to the question should be nothing. There is nothing that I would do differently if I knew Jesus was coming back 10 days from now. And what I mean by this is that whether Jesus comes back in 10 days or in 10,000 years, you ought to act exactly the same. That is, regardless of when he is coming, we need to be ready and faithful as you wait for him. You have no idea when he's returning. Therefore, stay alert and faithful at all times as you wait. Your level of faithfulness and commitment to Christ and zeal for the magnification of his name are not dependent on whether Christ is returning soon or a long time from now. The faithful servant proves his faithfulness, listen to this, not by being faithful in the last hour, but in every hour. And so live in such a way that if Jesus were to come today, if he were to come in the next hour, that he would find you alert, prepared, and faithfully serving his kingdom purposes. Be a faithful servant. Stay alert and faithful as you wait for Christ to return. And so let me ask a slightly different question now. What do you need to change today in order to be ready and faithful? Do you need to stop stalling and coming up with excuses and instead act with urgency to share the gospel with a friend or family member? Do you need to stop living in fear of what others think of you and instead boldly live for God? Do you need to stop blending in with the rest of culture and instead unashamedly standing out for Christ? Do you need to stop living complacently and instead live with urgent intentionality to spread the supremacy of Christ? Do you need to stop living self-centeredly and start living God-centeredly? Do you need to stop seeking selfish comforts and instead start sacrificially serving others? In what ways do you need to stop acting unfaithfully and start acting faithfully to God and His commands? What needs to happen in your life today so that you are alert, prepared, watchful, and faithful? Brothers and sisters, stay alert and faithful as you wait for Christ to return. Amen?
Amen,
amen, church. Let's pray together. O gracious God and Heavenly Father, we ask that your name would be made great in our hearts this morning. And I pray, God, that as your name is hallowed, as your name is magnified, that, Father, that it would cause us to move with greater urgency to live faithfully for you, that we would fear displeasing you more than we would fear the disapproval of the world, that we would desire earnestly to act in faithfulness, to be alert and prepared for your second coming, whether that's coming in the next hour or the next 10,000 years. No matter what, God, would we be a faithful servant like is depicted in the parables this morning. Whenever you come, or whenever you call us home, would you find us faithfully serving you? Alert, vigilant, prepared to serve your kingdom purposes. Father, forgive us. Forgive us for when we slack off, when we become lazy, when we fix our attention or our gaze upon other things. Forgive us, Father. We are prone to wander. We are prone to be unfaithful. We are prone to be self-centered. We are prone to be self-exalting. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to seek your kingdom first. Help us to be alert and faithful as we wait for your coming. And help us to depend on you, Jesus, and on your grace to sustain us. We are not perfect, and we will fumble and fail countless times before you call us home. But Lord, would we constantly turn back to your grace and your mercy? Would that be a great comfort to us? And would it be the fuel that we need to continue to faithfully serve you? And so, Father, help us by your Spirit and through your grace to stay alert and faithful as we wait patiently for for you to return, Jesus. We love you, our King. We worship you, and we pray all these things in your mighty name. Amen.
Amen.